Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hello and welcome to Industrial Talk, the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe that features industry heroes all around the world because you are bold, you're brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, you're solving problems, you're making my life better. Yeah, you are. You're making communities better, yes, and you're changing the world each and every day. Thank you very much for what you do. All right, we're going to be talking on this podcast, project finance. You need money, you know, the fulfill that dreams, however you're going to finance it. You need individuals like Brenton Alexander, New Energy Risk. He is the president of that organization, and we're going to be talking about project financing, but not the way you might think. So let's get cracking. All right. We're also brought to you by AI Dash. What's great about AI Dash? Oh, let me tell you what's great about AI Dash. I'm a utility guy, former utility guy, transmission lineman, right? And one of the biggest challenges we always had each day, and I'm not kidding you, each day is vegetation management. Here's a solution. And they combined satellites with AI technology to be able to manage that vegetation from a utility perspective, looking from above, looking down, and then deploying that capital in a way that is meaningful to your service territory and the quality of power that we just take for granted. That's AI Dash. Go out to AI-.com. Find out more. Great company, great people. The other sponsor is Armis. Now, for me, we talk a lot about digital transformation, that whole connecting of your assets. And every time you connect, you know, that's great. We're pulling data. We're trying to make tactical decisions from those devices. You need to know that they exist out there and that they are secure. Armis has the platform to do that, and quite honestly, makes it pretty painless. So go out to armis.com, find out more. All right, a couple of things. Again, if you know me, I'm pretty impatient. I want information fast. I want to see it in bullets. I don't want to read about it, which is sort of bad about me. But however, I want to see it in bullets. I want solutions delivered in little chunks, right? And there's a lot going on in industry, a lot happening, a lot of innovation, a lot of leadership stuff going on, a lot of events talking about new things. And there's a velocity that exists out there that you need to keep track of. You need to be a part of it. And so in Industrial Talk, we have that platform. We are dedicated to education, industrial education, featuring companies, featuring leaders that are truly pushing the envelope with innovative thinking. That's one. Educate. You got to educate. You got to collaborate, because I know for me, I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers, but you need to collaborate with trusted people. So Industrial Talk, once again, has a platform that says, hey, these guys or this person, this company knows what they're doing. It's sort of a vetting process, for lack of a better term, but you need trusted collaborators in your journey going forward to create that business of true resilience and success. And then finally, you need to innovate. And that's the world we live in. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's trying to deploy some sort of level of innovation to deal with, let's say, workforce management, whatever it might be. You name it. You know, they're looking for solutions to be able to stay in business and survive and definitely prosper in the future. So there's an innovation component. So with that said, podcasts are great. Podcasts are great because we can sit there and banter back and forth. It's sort of a no frills, you know, no formal, but we can't do certain things in podcasts. I can't just sort of share a presentation and say, what do you mean by that? What do you that? So that just begs the question for, I hate to say it, but webinars. And there's a value with webinars, but I'm going to sort of take it a little step differently here on Industrial Talk. Micro webinars, small, because I am impatient. My attention span's not the best, and I just want the unfiltered truth to solving problems, right? And so we're going down the road of creating these on-demand micro webinars. They're small, hour, maybe a little more than an hour. But what we can do is we can definitely provide whatever the paper, whatever the document, whatever the presentation, and be able to do it a little bit more in depth. It gets a little bit more deeper than what we can do on the podcast. What we do on the podcast is we elevate the attention. Then we bring it down into a little bit more nuts and bolts with these micro webinars. We're going to be starting one with utility maintenance. That's something I'm very passionate about. I see the need for utilities because, again, just think about it. We take it for granted that the power is going to be there. We just do. And until the power is not there, then we realize how important the power is. So utilities are constantly looking at ways of being able to manage their asset base in a way that delivers the solutions and services to the end user, and that's us. So that's an interesting, and they're going through a lot of changes too. The other one is, of course, manufacturing, and that's a big, broad category, but we're venturing into that. And again, it's that connected. You're looking at Armis. You're connecting your assets. You're looking at it. You're seeing what's going on. How do you make that manufacturer more efficient? We're doing oil and gas. We're going to be doing logistics, supply chain, because that's the topic that is on everybody's mind. So there's a lot of things that are coming out. But the thing for me, is that they're going to be created for on demand. You go out to Industrial Talk, find the webinar, micro webinar, and then be able to download the documents to help you be better, right? But it's on demand. If it's 8 o'clock at night and you feel like you need to learn a little bit more about utility maintenance, ready to go. So it's the Netflix approach to industrial education, right? Just go there, download, do what you need to do, watch it, and fast forward if you want to. But the reality is that we want to put more information in your hands so that you can succeed, because the reality is, again, you need to succeed. You need to prosper. We need you, especially now more than ever. You need to be in that whole education, collaboration, and definitely innovation mindset. You can join Industrial Talk. That's a great ecosystem for people who truly want to make that happen. Now, about education. So I'm looking at this, and this is an interesting, we talk about connected assets and being able to pull. I've got an article out there by Trend Micro, in-depth look at ICS vulnerabilities. This is part one of three. And ICS, if you don't know, is industrial control systems. And whether we like it or not, we have to have that conversation wrapped around cybersecurity. How do we protect, right? How do we prevent, attacks? Because once again, you need to be successful. We need to make sure that you're not vulnerable. So there's an article out there. Go out to Industrial Talk. It's going to be a featured article out there, and I think that it's got graphs, got good pictures. They do a good job, and they know exactly what they're talking about. All right, on to the interview. Here is something. His name is Brenton Alexander, right? And if anybody's ever been through project financing, the traditional project financing, there's a lot of justification, the stacks and stacks and stacks of paper. But that's the way we normally have to finance. We don't have the balance sheet to be able to say, oh, no, never mind, let's go down here. So many fall into that category that they've got definitely a project finance where they're going. This is an important conversation. That if you are looking for capital, New Energy Risk is they're just an open book, and they've got some real creative ways of being able to help you succeed at what you're trying to do. Have that conversation. All the contact information will be out there, and it was a great conversation. So enjoy it. Brenton, welcome to Industrial Talk. Thank you very much for finding time in your busy schedule to talk to the best listeners in the universe. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you, Scott?
Well, I can't complain, because you're talking about a topic, listeners, that you might think is not sexy, but boy, do I think it's sexy. And how do we take this incredible innovation, the energy out there in this energy transition, right? Energy transition space, and be able to mitigate, manage, and financially bring a lot of this innovation to the market. And that's what Brenton with New Energy Risk brings to the table. All right, let's get a cracking. For the listeners, let's sort of lay the foundation on who Brenton is. Give us a little 411 on who you are.
Yeah, sure. So Brenton Alexander, president of New Energy Risk. Technical background, so mechanical engineer by training, went through, you know, multiple degrees, couldn't decide what to do with my life, so stayed and did a PhD in electrochemistry, thermochemistry, and got really into the energy transition space. Went out into the world, tried a number of startups, and quickly realized, you know, good tech is a necessary but insufficient piece to actually get infrastructure built in this world, steel into the ground. So, you know, you mentioned not very sexy topics. I ended up ending up in insurance, which is a good topic to kill a conversation at a dinner party. So you wouldn't.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't say insurance. Oh,
right. But, you know, our goal here is to utilize insurance capital to help solve all these risks that exist in new energy projects and enable them to get to market faster by accessing low cost of capital financing that they otherwise would be unable to access due to, you know, tech risk on the project or contractual risks from some of the counterparties that lending institutions are just unable to take. So we're really trying to use a capitally efficient insurance capital to enable these projects to move forward in a way they'd be unable to do otherwise.
Because, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, a part of my history has been to try to finance projects, and it is. It all gets down to the capital that you can deploy to be able to bring that solution, that innovation to the market. And that requires a team. It requires a team of financial people who are in your corner to be able to do what is necessary to make that happen. So it's interesting, given your background and how you sort of ventured into, hi, I want to do that. You just sort of saw the need out there and saying, hey, I got this innovation. We got to wrap it some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, that's right. So the you know, the company was founded by a combination of insurance folks and tech folks. And the idea was, you know, these projects are being held up at the finish line because, you know, new tech developers in the energy space feel like you wrap your project in green credentials. You know, it's energy transition, it's ESG, it's good for the environment. You go to the lender has an ESG mandate. They want to do these projects. And then you run into the credit committee and they say, well, so what? You don't have a bankable technology. You don't have a bankable offtake. You don't have a bankable feedstock agreement. We can't put money behind that. And then you stop. So our view was, well, is there a way we can use insurance capital here to actually solve this problem, take these risks off the table and let the lender move in and make the project go? And that was the genesis for the company, the genesis for our founding. And that's what we've been doing for about 10 years now.
So take us through an example. Let's say I know you rattled off feedstock, offtake. There might be technology risk that is unique. How do you take that risk off the table, wrap it, and everybody makes money, right? I'm a bank, and I say, oh, all the risk is over here in that area. How do you sort of approach it that way? I don't see how you make money, because that's you're accepting the biggest risk of everything. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, I suppose. But I mean, it's you know, it's like any other insurance you buy. You're going to have a few failures, but you spread that risk across everybody paying premium, and then you socialize the risk. And so instead of nobody getting done, you get everybody done, and you know, some people are going to fail, but you're all socializing the cost of those failures across all those projects, and then everything moves forward.
See, and I do like that. And so if I'm a new tech, so what would be the first step? If I came to you, knocked on your door, and I said, yep, I've got this green transition mamma jamma, and I want to get it financed. Yeah. How do we go? Take us through that scenario.
Yeah. So we want to talk to everybody and anybody at every stage of development. And so people come in our door. Some people, it's, you know, they have an idea and it's one person in a garage, and other folks are, you know, established companies with 100 employees, and they're what they think is weeks away from a financial close. We get everybody in between. And, you know, we will come in, we'll take a look at your proposed structure, your proposed economics, the technology, And, you know, we'll give feedback on areas we think we can support and help and areas we obviously can't. And we'll give guidance on what we think you need to do to kind of get to the finish line. So, you know, for our projects, it's not uncommon for us to have from first contact to financial close, 2, 3, 4 years, because these projects are long to gestate. There's a lot of pieces that have to come together. And as you're putting the pieces together, the facts on the ground change. So you got to get them back together. And, you know, the shape of the world is moving as you're trying to get it all back working. And, you know, if the stars of Saturn and everything else align, and, you know, it's the third Thursday of whatever special month, it all comes together and you reach financial close.
And it's so funny because you bring up a good point, and we were having this conversation offline. And that is, it's like a house of cards, and you just got to keep nurturing it. You got to keep sort of making sure that, you know, this side's a little weak. I know you nurture it a little, and your journey is all about that project. Do you find that do you provide some like consulting relationship type stuff and saying, hey, you need to do sort of think this way. Let's frame it this way, or whatever, to help with the banking component to it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're not a consulting shop. We're paid at the end of the day when deals close. So we're motivated to get deals closed because that's how we pay the bills. And so as much as we can help clients we work with advance, give them feedback on what we've seen from others in the marketplace that, you know, they may or may not be doing well, to give them sort of a sense of where they need to head. You know, introductions we may be able to make with capital providers or EPCs or others we've worked with in the past to sort of help them move down the chain. We'll do that because it's valuable to us, both from a, you know, ESG standpoint. We're all here because we want to drive the energy transition. So we want to see the projects get built just to impact the world. And we all want to, you know, get our bills paid too. So we want to see the projects close, so we get the cash in the door to keep the lights on. So, you know, we don't consult directly as a consulting agency. Instead, we provide feedback and help for projects that have promise to help them move to the finish line.
But again, if no project's too big or small for you guys to actually have a conversation.
That's right. So our experience is small projects. Generally, it's small, you know, the first small project leads to 10 small projects, leads to 100 small projects. Like everything grows and scales together, and we want to help folks down that scaling journey.
I'm having a hard time finding a real issue with any of this because living through that whole, how do I capitalize a project, and then having the conversations with the bank and then addressing their concerns, and then it would seem to me like this would be a good relationship to have. And the reality is these projects don't come, you know, without risk.
That's right.
They don't come with massive balance sheets. They don't come with the traditional stuff that banks like to lend against, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, I don't want to make ourselves out to be a magic bullet that solves all the problems. You know, at the end of the day, we'll protect a debt lender coming into projects. We generally won't protect a layer of the equity because we want to make sure there's alignment, that someone has skin in the game. So it's not a heads they win, tails we lose type scenario. So it's still hard, even with insurance. You got to find equity dollars that are willing to take the risks. You got to find all the various contractual parties who will put the structures in place that need to be put in place. It's still hard, but, you know, our goal is to make it a little bit easier to help, you know, a couple more projects get over that finish line. More than a
see
couple.
What goes into my mind, start ticking, tick, 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 is like, you have to create these models. These are new things, right? You've got the traditional lending institutions over here. They look at this and everything's sort of proceduralized, right? But then you start talking about very unique vision and view of whatever that risk might be, project by project by project. You might be able to say, oh, I've used that over here, let's just bring it. You might be able to, but these are I can only imagine the modeling.
Yeah, well, you know, that's part of the magic here is we have scientists, engineers on staff to do a lot of that technical underwriting. We have former investment bankers who are on our biz dev staff so they can understand the way these projects come together. God. We have actuaries on staff who take all that knowledge and, you know, put it through their magic machine and it gives out an answer that looks like something the insurance industry is used to seeing. And that enables the insurance capital to stand behind these things. Yeah. So it's really taking all those pieces and putting them together in a way that insurance capital understands, and then structuring that into a definitive insurance document that the lending finance community can understand and feel like their risk is mitigated.
Yeah. And it has to happen. I can appreciate it because many of these projects that you address, you talk about, they need that service. They need that solution to be able to come to market. And if we're really interested in this transition to other forms of energy, it has to be that collaborative approach, that financial approach, because it's just heavy lifting. It is. It's just without a doubt, it's heavy lifting.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're going to succeed in the space, you need to find capital that's going to come in at, you know, single digit cost of capital, infrastructure funds, traditional capital sources. And they're used to doing, you know, gas peaker plants or bridges or roads or airports. And you give them anything that looks weird, they're going to ask for the three reference facilities that have at least 3 years of operation under them. So you have a total chicken and egg problem. How do you get that done?
Yeah.
And if you're going to avoid those guys and just do all equity, you could be paying 15, 20% cost of capital. It's super expensive. So how do you bridge the middle there? That's really the goal. Yeah.
Well said. Well said. Okay. So that's all good. You've sold me on the solution here. What are the roadblocks? What are you having? What problems exist out there outside of the obvious? What me as a small business owner, what risks? I mean, I don't want to do it. You don't go to market, whatever. What is that?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, there's a few areas that our clients run into problems. And the first is, I don't even want to blame our clients because you have to be of a certain mindset to do project development. You have to be an optimist. You have to see the glass half full all the time. And that's just not the way the lending community looks at the world, right? They're looking at the risks and what their downside is, and they'll look for the weakest link in the project.
Quite frankly, I don't like going to have a beer with them because they are a downer.
That's right. And so, you know, you have eight amazing attributes of your project, and the ninth is kind of weak, and that's the one they're going to focus on and base their risk assessment on. And, you know, that kills our developers, but a lot of folks coming through, they really, you know, I don't want to say believe their own hype too much, but you have to be able to think like a banker and pick your own project apart. And if you're unable to do that, you're gonna come to market with something that's not ready for prime time. So we see a lot of folks who, I don't want to say cut corners, but they have pieces of their project that look really great. You know, they have a product that's highly valuable in a specialty market, and they'll look at that and say, wow, that gives me a competitive edge. And then they feel like other parts of the project they can probably let be a little bit worse, because they have this one piece that's so great. And the truth of the situation is it doesn't work that way. Every single attribute has to be bankable. You can't have one great attribute offset another. They all have to be good. So that's a key piece, is we see people just miss that area of.
But you brought up the sort of the personal characteristics of a project developer. I'm optimistic. I don't want to go to that bad negative stuff. That room That's makes right. me feel uncomfortable. I want to go over here. This is cool stuff, right?
Totally. Yeah. You got to tell the story. Absolutely. But you got to know what your own dirt is too. And then, you know, another key area we see problems is, and this was me coming out of grad school, is a belief that the good tech, the good innovative new, you know, widget that's going to change the world is enough to get it done. If you build it, they will come. And the answer is no. You know, good technology, new technology, novel technology, even well proven, is it's necessary, but insufficient to get your project done. There's a lot of other pieces that have to come in place. Getting those pieces in place takes time, and that takes money. You know, project development can be, if you're lucky, 2 years, could be 3 years, could be 4 years, could be millions of dollars spent in terms of consultants and permit applications and engineering work. And that's all to get to a point where you can then get a project funded with equity and debt. We see a lot of people insufficiently capitalize their startup or their project development shop, and they don't have the funds necessary to do everything they need to do to get to project ready for an FID, for a final investment decision. So we see a lot of people come to us because they see insurance as sort of a magic bullet to skip the step of project development and try to do all that stuff later. And it just doesn't work. You got to do your basic engineering. You got to do, you know, site control, you got to get your permitting done, you got to negotiate the contracts, all that stuff costs money, it takes time. And if you don't do it, you're not going to have a project that's going to be investment ready.
And if that's not salt on the wound, when you invested all this time, energy, effort, passion, money, whatever it is, and you get it to that point and it's not bankable, that's a real butt kicker, big time, to say the least.
Yeah, well put.
And I got to tell you, kudos to the people who want to live in that world. And I mean, that's a heck of a calling.
It is. It's a tough world. I mean, it's a binary risk world. It's high risk, high reward. And if, you know, there's no half built project. You either get it, you don't.
So what I get out of all this is that you need to find a team of trusted individuals to help you in this journey, whether you like it or not. And that includes companies like New Energy Risk and others, to be able to have that conversation sooner than later. No, but again, you have no issues with approaching companies wherever they are in that whole process. But I just see the necessity to be able to bring on people that you trust to help you in this journey. And yeah, and if the journey is not going to happen, know that sooner than later, right? Yeah, you know, okay, I'm only out $1 million, as opposed to, oh my gosh, it's far greater than that. So I'm sort
you're
of
trying a, loading correctly and abandon the ways that aren't going to work before you put too much money.
Yeah, in. Yeah, and have people that are not afraid of, you know, giving you or telling you the real story. All right. So listeners out there saying, my gosh, I want to know more. How do I get a hold of you?
Yeah, well, the easiest way is to, you know, you can find us at our website, newenergyrisk.com. Our email address is contact@newenergyrisk.com. That sounds like it's one of those black hole email addresses, but it is not.
Well, thank you. I was getting ready to say, oh, come on.
Yeah, no. Go straight to our head of biz dev and straight to me as well. And we follow up on those within a couple of days.
Good.
You know, it's reach out. We get multiple inbounds a day. We work with a number of folks and we're happy to pick up the phone or answer the email and get moving.
One last question. How do you really, if somebody uses that contact email and do you follow up and say, yes, no, maybe, let's have a conversation, that type of thing on all of those?
We'll always have a conversation. Absolutely.
Oh, good.
Always have a conversation.
I like and then that.
If there's a there, we'll get an NDA in place and then we'll go from there. Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. Seems painless to, well, pain is relative, right? Let's just sort of make sure that everybody understands that. Well, I enjoyed this conversation. We can go on forever, but I think that listeners, you need to reach out to Team New Energy Risk. I think if you're in the world, this has always been I've lived through project financing, and at a minimum, it took up a room of paperwork. Stinking project financing.
Yeah, that is a gauntlet. Not many people do live to see the you know, the light at the end of that tunnel. So kudos to you.
And if you do come across those people, tag them, because they're rare.
They are very rare. Absolutely.
All right, Brenton, thank you very much. All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. Fear not. We're going to have all that contact information that Brenton provided, everything that you need to reach out to this. This incredible company. I really enjoy it. Thank you, Brenton, for being on the podcast.
Scott, appreciate the time. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right, listeners, stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, a hearty thank you to Brenton Alexander sharing his insights into project financing. You need money. You need money. You need to reach out to Brenton. All the contact information for Brenton will be at Industrial Talk. Find his interview, find his conversation. Boom, there's his contact information. All right, we're creating an ecosystem here at Industrial Talk. And it is featuring companies and individuals that are trusted in their specific profession. You need that. Innovation, right? So we need to educate, we need to collaborate, we need to innovate, and you need to do that with trusted individuals. If you want to contribute, go to Industrial Talk, send me a quick little a buzz saying, hey, we want to contribute. We've already got people that are committed to leadership, committed to manufacturing, committed to the IoT, committed to asset reliability, everything in between. And we're just expanding because we need to solve problems and we need to do it with trusted individuals. All right. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly. Hang out with Brenton. You're going to change the world. That's for doggone sure. All right, we're going to have another great conversation shortly, so do not go away. We will be right back.